I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. And Candace, do you think Club Chalamet is doing okay? I'm worried for her. We need to send a wellness check.
Oh, me too. I mean, the notifs are on. The Popcrave alerts are on. The TMZ alerts are on.
For those of you who go outside and touch grass, this week, Pop Tings tweeted, Kylie Jenner is rumored to be pregnant, expecting a baby with Timothée Chalamet. And immediately the name on everyone's lips was Club Chalamet because we're just bracing for her multi-graph Instagram post about the fandom experiencing a disruption to its core.
And I just need to bring up that before this tweet, there was indeed a blind item posted on Dumois that said, this Nepo baby trendsetter is bringing a very special plus one with her to this year's Met Gala. And believe me, y'all aren't ready to see who this will be. And of course, FOMOI Hive, that is the Reddit hive of Dumois, they interpreted this as like, okay, plus one equals pregnancy announcement. Mm-hmm. Nepo baby trendsetter is either Hailey Bieber or Kylie Jenner. And now I'm not going to say what or who I believe, but I just think we have to wait until the first Monday of May to find out.
And you're right. I will say that in terms of the men that the Jenner Kardashian hive have locked down, I do kind of think Timothy might be the biggest fish. Like, Kris Jenner might be rubbing her little hands together like,
oh! Her little fins. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. In the meantime, Candace, are there any other white women you want to talk about?
Oh my God, of course. Yes. I want to talk about someone that surprised me in a very delightful way.
Oh.
Who is Alex Cooper and her Vogue wedding spread.
Yes, yes.
So Alex Cooper is the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday morning, Vogue posted a bunch of photos and this like full ass article about her wedding to her business partner, now husband, Matt Kaplan. They did a destination wedding in Mexico, I believe, and it was very intimate. It was like luxurious to its core. It was definitely maybe a little sponsored. I mean, have you seen the photos, Rachel? What do you think?
Of course, I've seen the photos. I'm on multiple influencer snark pages on Reddit.
Yes.
I must say, I disagree with most of the Reddit girlies because a lot of them are talking about how ugly her dress is. I'm obsessed with her dress. This drop waist.
Yes.
Like this V drop waist and this beautiful skirt. And I'm like, the tailoring on it is exquisite. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a perfectly bridal gown.
Yes.
Without being costumey. Yes. I was obsessed with it. I was obsessed with it.
Yes. Oh, I love that we're on the right side of history. Because here's the thing. A lot of times when you see weddings and the dress is a big deal, a lot of people go poofy, or at least they're kind of venturing on that like Princess Diana vibe. But the thing is, Princess Diana was never that type of person. She's bike shorts with the sneakers on. And so the thing about Alex is that I like that this wedding was not such a far venture from who she is. She records her podcast in sweats. And I think there is something very simple about this wedding. So let's talk about it. I love everything about it. I love the photos with the perfect sunset behind them. I am one of those people that like click on Vogue wedding spreads just to like shit on them because I'm like, all right, whose Nepo baby is this? I would never have gone there. I would not have chosen that color. I hate your napkins. Like, I'm kind of a hater.
Of course.
And so when I saw this, I was like, why do I like everything? Like, why is it kind of refreshing and modern and like possibly feminist?
I mean, the thing about money is that it can't buy you taste. And unfortunately, it seems like Alex Cooper, who didn't always have as much money as she has now, might have taste, but also feminist. Alex Cooper, feminist. Say more. Say more. I'm not there yet.
And let me be clear. I have a lot of issues with the Call Her Daddy economy beginning all the way back to their Barstool days. But I really like the article that Alexandra Macon wrote about the wedding. You know, first, she talks about how Alex didn't actually want to get married, like, ever. And at some point, she looked at her now husband and was like, okay, you can propose, which I find actually very funny. And she also says that she didn't plan the wedding. She didn't plan a thing because her husband is, like, a producer.
Wow.
She was never that girl who was, like, Pinteresting at age six. And I identified with that because, like, I'm a little anti-marriage right now. I will attend any wedding you invite me to. I love an open bar, okay? But I also was never, you know, Pinteresting storyboarding venues and dresses. And I love that her now husband like handled almost everything. And all Alex had to do was just like pick her dresses and showed up. And she picked her dresses because you like that one. A lot of them were kind of vintage. And the one I really like is the one she wore for the first night. It's the long Daniel Frankel one that kind of is like sleeveless, I think. And I would have worn it. And that's when I was like, see, this is for me. Copy paste, this is for me. Now, in terms of feminist, I actually would love to know your thoughts on this. So Alex walked herself down the aisle, which I think is great. Her mother apparently also walked herself down the aisle. And Alex did this thing where the audience was facing her as she walked down the aisle so she could really look them in the eye, which I love, a confident bride. And then her dad, at the end of the night, announced that everyone was going to run into the ocean, and they did, which is really cute.
That is cute.
It is really cute. But I guess what I just really love is the writer was talking about how most people don't remember their wedding day because of the stress and the go, go, go. It just takes them out of the moment. But Alex was like, I remember everything from that night because it was what I wanted. And I'm like, damn it. I want that. I want that, Rachel. And her looks were great. Like, you know, slick backed hair, minimal makeup. It's not glam. It's a little more clean and natural. I love it, with a little Botox. And I was that girl. I wrote stuff down. I took screenshots and I said, I'll see you in like 5 to 7 years.
I love that. I love that you found a wedding that really speaks to you, because my feeling about weddings is I think everyone finds a wedding that is for them. It can be small, it can be big, it can be expensive, it can be cheap, but it's basically a party with all the people that you love in the best setting. I do enjoy the running into the ocean afterwards. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the walking herself down the aisle when her dad is alive does give girl boss gatekeep gaslight. And you know what? It's a little bit like Beyonce always talking about her dad like he's dead. Meanwhile, that man is alive. That man is alive and well. So, you know, I never thought I would compare Alex Cooper and Beyonce in the same sentence. So we're both surprised. You did a full 180 on Alex Cooper just because of her marriage.
I did do that.
And the surprises continue because it's White Woman O'Clock on the show today.
Woo!
We're talking about another blonde influencer with a very particular way of speaking and some questionable views. I realize that could apply to a lot of people on the internet, so I guess you'll just have to come back after the break to find out who it is. Or read the show description. Regardless of your choice, we'll be back after a short break. Hi, y'all. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening to ICYMI, then welcome. We're thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesday's, where I interviewed Steffi Cao about Roblox, the online gaming platform that recently rolled out a $35 million fund for creators. You'll definitely want to check it out. And we're back with a listener question. Candace, could you do me the honor of reading this question? Could you be my Vanna White today?
Ooh, of course. So this question comes from Elizabeth, who writes, Hi, ICYMI. Love this show, and I'm dying for you to do a deep dive on influencer Natalia Torianski. She uses the title doctor in her bio, but it's completely unclear whether that's a bit or what. I find her content absolutely fascinating, even when it's irritating to me, because it seems to totally straddle the line between reality and satire. In other words, I can't tell how sincere she is versus how much she's intentionally putting on a persona and how self-aware the content is meant to be. My gut tells me she has a solid level of literacy and intentionality around these things, given her being quoted in an NPR article about influencer voice. I have to believe that at least a major percentage of her content is intentional parody slash satire, but then I have moments where I'm not so sure whether she is parodying something or just earnestly doing it. For example, when she talks nonsense about food. And at the end of the day, she's clearly brilliant if she's causing me to ponder all this so much. Anyway, I am absolutely pleading for you to do an episode on her, please!
Your dreams are coming true today, Elizabeth. This is Make-A-Wish. I hadn't heard of the good Dr. Torianski before this email. Had you, Candace?
The only good doctor I know is currently on his last season over at ABC.
Not Dr. Sean Murphy. Rest in peace. You've given us so much. Much like Dr. Murphy, Dr. Natalia Toryansky isn't a real doctor as far as I can tell. Mm. From our research, I would say, though, Natalia is just as fascinating as I assume Dr. Murphy is, since my only familiarity with the Good Doctor TM is the 3 minutes I would watch after The Bachelor finished airing. But Natalia Toryansky, or Dr. Natalia, as she's known to her fans, is, I would say, a mid-tier influencer. She has almost 250,000 followers on TikTok and just under 50,000 on Instagram. It's respectable, but she's no Alex Earle, who has 6.6 million followers on TikTok and 4 million on Instagram. Though Natalia does frequently get compared to Alex, though. Alex Earle, not Alex Cooper. There's a lot of Alexes in this episode.
Yeah.
Presumably because both Natalia and Alex Earle are both beautiful, thin, white, blonde women who I believe both live in Florida.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mention Alex Earle, because she is a part of the Call Her Daddy extended universe. Alex Earle has a podcast under Alex Cooper's network, the Unwell Network. They have the same publicist who also reps Zayn Malik.
Wow.
And they're both sort of the same genre of white woman, which is to say they both market this brand of authenticity that tends to present as a bit grungy, like lean in feminism, but instead of trying to be adjacent to Mark Zuckerberg, they're trying to be adjacent to Dave Portnoy, but without the misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Alex Earle recently went viral for having a dress stained with months old vomit in her closet that she made her friend smell. And she later said, "There was just a little bit of puke on there. I'm not that filthy and unhygienic." I mean, do I believe her? Who knows? Do I think this says a lot about her brand that she'd feel comfortable posting something like this? Perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're both kind of unpolished party girls who you wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see doing coke in the bathroom at a party, which is a vibe. You know, we're not there. I'm not the DEA. But I think that impression of, I would not be surprised to see you in the bathroom doing coke, is my impression Natalia as well. But Candace, I want to ask you a question. Would it add a wrinkle to tell you that Natalia's biggest claim to fame isn't necessarily being an influencer, but making fun of them?
Oh, say more.
Yeah. So in the fall of last year, Natalia started posting a TikTok series called Bland Influencer. If you spend time on TikTok, you will recognize exactly the kind of cadence that she's satirizing. Here's one where she makes fun of the Bland Influencer's morning vlog.
Good morning, you guys. I'm just making my morning coffee. I'm so tired. I have a really busy day today. I have to reply to an email. And that's it.
This next one's caption actually made me chuckle. It says, "Not me in my speed bump era."
I've been obsessed with this. Oh my God! We just went over a speed bump. We literally just went over a speed bump. That was crazy. No, that was so funny. I got it on camera.
One of my personal favorites is her kind of sending up the weird snack obsessions that lifestyle influencers try to sell. Like, you remember when people were drinking balsamic vinegar in seltzer and saying it was Coke? It's like that. Apologies in advance for the mouth sounds that you're about to hear that occur in this video.
Melanie Linsky, turn off the pod now.
Okay. You put the Parmesan on the apple. And then, it's so good. You guys.
So most of these live in a playlist on her profile, again, economically titled Bland Influencer, which she stopped adding to in 2023. But she hasn't given up on making fun of influencers. Here's a video from early April of this year that I would say would be right at home in her Bland Influencer playlist.
Trying the new lip gloss. Oh my God. No way. There's literally no way. Do you guys see that? Are you guys seeing that? I'm obsessed. This is crazy.
Now, that was a lot of videos. Before I move on, Candace, how do you feel? How would you situate Natalia within the Alex Earle, Alex Cooper universe? Alex Squared.
The Alex Squared, yeah. I mean, that last video, by the way, would have done numbers on Vine. Okay, I'm talking Casey Fry numbers. Oh, look, to me, it is pretty obvious that these are like parodies. You know, this is a character. This is not actually her. This is a performance. And I do think aesthetically or plastic surgeonly speaking, she does fit right into the Alex Squared universe. Because unfortunately, those two, Earl and Cooper, are like some of the biggest podcasters and influencers right now. So it's almost like Natalia is the Elvis impersonator of the Alexes.
Okay, right? But another wrinkle, she doesn't only make fun of influencers.
Oh.
Here's a video of her mocking people who can't be normal around crumble cookies, which are these like social media famous cookies that are the size of my hand and are made in rotating weekly flavors like galaxy brownie and confetti milkshake and carrot cake. I think of them as kind of like the Lavon cookie, but for the TikTok era, which of course means that they're a bit of a linchpin for people who are obsessed with dieting.
Bro, are you dead ass eating that right now? Oh my god. Too sweet for me. Too sweet for me. I just have like strawberries for dessert. Even strawberries, like when they're too ripe, that is way too sweet for me. Like I can't even eat bananas. Pre-diabetes is a huge issue in America. I know it runs in your family.
Pre-diabetes runs in your family is such a horrible thing to say to someone. Oh my god. Okay. So she's not going to be promoting flat tummy tea.
Probably not. But I would say her relationship with food is actually quite fascinating. But before we move on to that, I think there are a few more things important to know about Natalia. First, here's her opinion on Nara Smith, recent show topic.
Nara Smith is a whole ass comedian and y'all aren't giving her that title, but I'm about to give it to her. She's not kidding about making the yogurt and granola, but she's kidding about like, my kids woke me up early this morning and asked for this thing that will be ready in 10 hours. And she says it in a very monotone. It's rage bait.
Oh, isn't that basically the conclusion that you and Gabby Del Valle came to, that Nara's just doing like a bit?
Yes. Yes. And because I am me and a human being, I, of course, thought more highly of Natalia because she agrees with me. The second thing that made me kind of go, huh, is that, as Elizabeth said, Natalia was quoted in an NPR piece.
Wait, really?
Yes. Yes. About influencer voice, which is this up-talky, vocal fry laden voice that's really common on TikTok. It's the hi, you guys. I just wanted to pop on here and tell you about this TikTok shop product that I've been loving. It's so good. A lot of people hate it, which no surprise there. What is surprising to me, at least, is that there is some research that suggests that it's actually great for keeping people engaged because we associate ending a sentence with an upward inflection. It's a sign that the speaker isn't done speaking. So subconsciously, we're waiting for someone to finish their sentence, which is great for influencers to get them to finish their videos.
Oh, okay. And what did Natalia have to say about it?
Honestly, not much. I'm going to be completely honest. My feeling is that they interviewed her because of her bland influencer series, which had about 23 million views at that point. Her quote was, it's something that a lot of people were aware of and perceiving, but nobody was really talking about, which I guess is true. I mean, it certainly helps explain why her series did so well. Another explanation is that people have loved making fun of influencers since influencers became a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a little bit of like column A, a little bit of column B. But Elizabeth, our listener, specifically asked about Natalia talking nonsense about food. What is that about?
Great question, which I will answer after the break. And we're back. Candace, how do you feel about seed oils?
I do not feel about seed oils.
Great. Natalia does.
Okay.
Before the break, I see why my listener Elizabeth asked why Natalia posts weird stuff about food. And I don't think Elizabeth is alone here. Here's a Reddit thread that I see why my producer Sierra found on the ED Recovery Snark subreddit. And this person accuses Natalia of showing, quote, the usual orthorexic red flags, end quote.
And orthorexia is an obsession with healthy eating, usually via restrictive behaviors.
Mm-hmm. And this user lists off a bunch of things that they've noticed in her videos that they feel give off weird vibes. Like, she promotes raw milk. She insists processed food is the devil. She's obsessed with grass-fed, pasture-raised ingredients. She calls certain oils inflammatory. She brags about her ultra-clean diet. She's yapping about seed oils. And this poster keeps going and going, citing things like Natalia making fun of people for eating Takis, which is code word for eating junk food. She's apparently constantly asking her family members if she looks fat as a form of body checking. She called tofu too processed. And in general, this user feels like she has, quote, extreme mindsets about food.
Whew. I mean, off the bat, I'm kind of taking this with a grain of salt because I thought Natalia's whole thing is that this is a joke, that the way she talks about food is clearly showing her mocking an influencer who would call tofu, quote, too processed. So is this a case of someone maybe taking her too seriously?
So I thought so. And then I looked in the comments and someone brought up this video that Natalia allegedly uploaded and then quickly deleted about how the moon has her, quote, body messed up. Body is spelled B-A-W-D-Y, just for reference.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Say more.
So this user claims Natalia was comparing her body to Jason Kelsey's. Jason is an NFL player who just retired. He is the brother of Travis Kelsey, who, as we all know, is dating a certain pop star who will not be named on this episode. Jason went viral for going shirtless in the stands and looking like a bear. Anyway, Natalia says, no offense to Jason Kelsey, but he has a beer gut, and she does too. One of my pet peeves about people talking about athletes' bodies is the assumption that because you're a high-level athlete that you won't have a stomach, because people associate flat stomachs with health. And it's like, actually, yeah. No. Sometimes the best thing you can have for your particular job is a belly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Natalia says, I haven't eaten all day and I still have this gut, which means this is the moon's fault. And this Reddit user was basically accusing her of trying to get people in the comments to validate that she was still skinny, which they did. And on top of that, people allegedly started commenting their own beliefs that the moon does indeed make them fat.
Okay. 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 So we have moon allegations. We have Jason Kelsey beer belly allegations.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I am left asking the question, if that video was indeed posted and deleted, was it real? Like, was she being serious?
I want to say no, but because it's allegedly deleted, I can't really have an opinion on it. But let's take a look at other videos that are still up, where she talks about things that are, I would say, serious, but in the same kind of tone that she's using in her bland influencer series, which is confusing, I'll say.
Yeah.
Here's a TikTok where Natalia is talking about fossil fuels, carbon emissions, and potato chips.
What about greenhouse gas emissions? What about animal agriculture and methane and greenhouse gas emissions? It's polluting the earth. It's a massive pollutant. It's destroying the earth. Everyone's concerned about the carbon footprint of beef, which accounts for 2% of greenhouse gas emissions. If people were really concerned about emissions in food, they'd tell people to stop eating potato chips, which are the number one producer of greenhouse gases when it comes to food. How about them apples?
So this is where we get into the whole, is she being serious conversation? Because in this video, what I think she's trying to say is that if you are someone who is angry about carbon emissions produced by the agricultural sector, specifically beef producers, which a lot of people are, fairly, but also maybe choose your target more wisely, because fossil fuels created via transportation are causing more carbon emissions. And if you're still specifically concerned about carbon emissions from the ag sector, then don't just be angry at beef producers. Also be angry about rice production. Also be angry about potato chip production, which, according to Natalia, has the biggest carbon footprint of any food. Natalia ends this video by saying, how about them apples, which, was that a pun? I don't know. The thing is, after hours of looking at Natalia's content, I'm not 100% sure if she's saying, look at all these facts I dropped that I believe, or if she's saying, look at the crazy, stupid stuff influencers spew on this app.
Yeah. And there are people in the comments fact checking her. they're kind of like, okay, but when I Googled it, it said beef was the number one food with the highest carbon footprint, not chips. I feel like I'm on your side, but... So let's get back to the question. Do we think she's joking?
At this point, I almost wonder if it doesn't matter in terms of her intent of posting the video, because the tone of voice of her content that suggests she's exaggerating or trying to connect dots that weren't meant to be connected just means that when she posts things where maybe she's trying to be serious, we're all like, but is that a joke? Is this real? But to give a point to the parody believers, I want to bring up this clip of her talking about raw milk. And you tell me if she's being serious.
I don't know nothing about raw grass-fed dairy milk first thing in the morning. I don't know nothing about a grass-fed cow. No almond milk, no herbicide-laden almond dropped into a blender, blended up with an entire gallon of water and emulsifiers and preservatives and gums mixed in. Real milk right from the udder.
There's a comment on this video that speaks directly to my lactose intolerant heart, and it reads, "Queen, respectfully, I do not feel like shitting my pants at 7 a.m. Fair, valid, I see you." And Natalia's response is, it's something. Natalia writes, "Your system will likely tolerate raw milk much better than standard pasteurized milk, which has its nutrients and enzymes destroyed during processing."
Is this true?
So, according to health.com, it is technically true that the pasteurization process, which involves heating milk to a high enough temperature to kill pathogens like salmonella, E. coli, listeria, things you don't want in your stomach, it can lower the percentage of vitamins found in milk. But health.com says, quote, "The overall effect of pasteurization on milk's nutritional value is minimal. Many of these vitamins are naturally found in relatively low levels anyways." And importantly, before pasteurization was common, milk-related illnesses constituted approximately 25% of all disease outbreaks.
Wow.
And now it's less than 1%. So, like, I am a fan of pasteurization. But maybe even more importantly for this episode, Natalia doesn't even drink raw milk anymore. The raw milk video we played was from January 2023. In March of this year, she posted a video of her Whole Foods haul, which included almond milk. Yes, I pronounced that correctly. Milk is a brand of plant-based milk that doesn't have any fillers or additives or gum. So it's I guess the rawest form of almond milk that you can make without juicing your own almonds. I don't know how almond milk is made.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So was the raw milk thing just a bit?
A bit. A phase. Call it what you want. But it just seems like Natalia is a woman of both strongly held and fleeting convictions, which is very confusing as a viewer.
Yeah, because I mean, like, after this deep dive into Natalia's content, can I ask, do you think people like her? Like, does she have earnest followers who ride for her, or does she seem to straddle that, like, 80-20 line of hate watchers to actual followers?
She definitely has real fans. I would say most of her fans like her. They call her doctor as a bit. They're all in on it. They take on her vocal inflections, like adding Ianka or Iana to the end of all their words, like vlog Ianka or cowgirl Ianka, which isn't specific to Natalia or her fans, and which I cannot comfortably trace the origins of, but I feel like might have started in the queer community and then filtered down. But all to say, I'd say most of her audience is on her side. They keep asking her questions like, what do you think about people who avoid fruits because of sugar?
Right, which kind of brings up this other question, which is, even if her posts are meant to mock wellness influencers or meant to be funny, should we be at all concerned that she is possibly spreading misinformation? Because we are speaking on the same week that President Joe Biden signed the TikTok ban bill. And while that's been going on, TikTok updated their community guidelines and said that they're going to start cracking down on content that may promote disordered eating, dangerous weight loss habits, potentially harmful weight management products. So even if this is a farce, does that include Dr. Natalia?
That's a complicated question. And I feel like kind of gets into the ethics of posting and having a platform and blah, 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 blah. Could write a whole book about this.
Yeah.
I will say Natalia's content other than the raw milk stuff. She promotes eating like full fat dairy. She's like, please eat your fats. Stop taking fats out of your diet. It's actually not helping you at all. So some of the things that she says, I'm like, okay, you get it. And then some of the things she says, I'm like, what is going on here? So I guess what I'll say is, if you can safely categorize the majority of an influencer's content as a joke, which I think we can do with Natalia, maybe don't take health advice from them. Like, I'm not taking mental health advice from Dr. Fraser Crane because he's on a sitcom, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to live life. Yes.
So that is Natalia, the not doctor, and her weird food vibes. But let's talk about this performance or this character she's putting on, which I think is meant to mock TikTok voice.
Yeah. So I would say for the past maybe 6 years, there's kind of been this dialect shift online with the advent of not only TikTok, but also podcasts, where people just sound like uncanny Valley versions of the Valley girl. Mm-hmm. And we've been playing it throughout this entire episode. But I actually want to highlight that NPR segment you mentioned, because it starts with this really funny bit where Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep tries to do a TikTok voice impression.
Hi there. It's Steve Inskeep. I just wanted to hop on here and say a few things. The way I'm talking now is the way some content creators speak on TikTok, and it's known as influencer speak or TikTok voice. It's a combination up talk, where you sound like a question when it's not a question, and the other element is vocal fry.
So I first want to ask you, Rachel, what is your take on TikTok voice? Does it exist? Does it bother you? Do we have it?
Well, first, I don't think I ever had the thought that TikTok voice was a learned skill until I heard Steve Inskeep trying to do an impression of it. So I would say, based on that I think TikTok voice exists, but I think it's more complicated than one singular voice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the influencers Natalia's making fun of don't sound like BookTok influencers, who don't sound like cooking influencers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The accent we're talking about sounds to me a lot like a variation of the YouTube voice to me, you know, hi guys, welcome to my channel. Today we're going to be unboxing, except more informal, I guess, is the word that I'm reaching for. It doesn't really bother me, but quite frankly, I've never gotten an Alex Earl TikTok on my For You page, so I actually don't think I encounter this voice that often. And then, do we have it? I think that's for our audience to decide from within the comforts of their home and not in my inbox, because I don't need any more commentary on what my voice sounds like from people I don't know.
Yeah. And what I find funny about this like TikTok voice conversation is that I think there is a pretty clear lineage between Valley Girl voice to TikTok voice, because if female bodies have eras, I guess female voices have eras. Mm-hmm. And all of these eras are variations of vocal fry or uptick. That's when you kind of end sentences as questions instead of periods. And this general lackadaisical slurred pronunciation that honestly was probably popularized by the Kardashians.
Right. And then every woman who spoke in anything but a monotone got charged with sounding like a Kardashian.
Exactly. Like, every on-air female journalist has probably gotten an angry email from a listener saying like, hi, please stop with the vocal fry. It's annoying. It's unserious. And once we realized those emails were like overwhelmingly targeting women, it became this question of like, is this sexist? Is accusing someone of vocal fry code for, you sound like a woman, I don't want to hear it, I don't take you seriously? And I don't think the Kardashians becoming the face of it helped.
I mean, they're unserious people, so definitely not.
Yeah.
I've been wondering about TikTok voice when it comes to our chosen medium podcast, because let's be honest, have you ever caught yourself speaking in the same intonation or borrowing phrases from the host of your favorite podcast or maybe an influencer or YouTube you loved? Are you talking like Zoella in 2024?
Probably. I mean, this is not an uncommon phenomenon. How many people do we know that work at our organization that love Michael Barbaro's little isms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I am not innocent, because I will say that there is a film podcast that I listen to regularly where one of the co-hosts always starts their sentences with, so, and I've caught myself doing that, like literally in scripts, and her co-host has kind of become notorious for using the phrase, we're so back, and I've used that phrase in my daily life a lot, but I think this is just an example of how language has a way of kind of like rotating through circles of people in these small jargony ways that not only show how unconsciously people take in language, but also how you are using them as identity markers. Because, for example, when someone refers to January 6th as Stop the Steal, you know exactly who they voted for. You know who they follow on Instagram, because only certain people who believe certain things are using that phrase. But I want to ask about TikTok voice for a second, because it's one thing to name it, but is it bad for us? Like, is this bad for Gen Alpha, who will one day need to ask for a raise or stand up for themselves in the face of an already misogynist society? Can they go up to their boss and go, hey guys, so I was like looking for a raise?
Well, I'm glad you brought up that NPR segment, because they interviewed a speech language pathologist named Laura Purcell Verdon, who said that TikTok voice evokes youthfulness, which I actually think is the main reason why people use it, even if they're not consciously thinking that. They sound young. They want to sound fun. They want to sound like they're in the streets.
Right. And another person they interviewed was the creator at Etymology Nerd, who called this voice a, quote, prestige dialect. It's the HBO of dialects. And he said there's probably a more intentional reason why it's become popular, specifically on TikTok.
This is where the influencer accent deviates from its origins in the Valley Girl accent, because the Valley Girl accent would never stress makeup brand. But the influencer is trying to constantly keep your attention, so they employ a technique called macroprosody, or using more tones than necessary. They'll also frequently lengthen their vowels to emphasize certain key words or just fill dead space. And this is the same thing that Sesame Street is doing when they say stuff like, let's learn our ABCs! They emphasize certain letters as a floor-holding tactic to capture children's attention. And influencers are doing the same thing with your attention when they stress certain words.
Now let me ask you this, Rachel. Do you personally interact with a lot of people in real life who speak like this?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But honestly, having this job has made me realize that I pay far less attention to the way people talk than others do. I mean, I'm tone deaf musically. I think I'm also tone deaf accent wise. Unless you're speaking in a Bayou accent, I'm a bit like, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's keep going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You thought I was Australian this whole time. Damn.
I did. I thought you were Choice Yvonne.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I'm from Southern California, the birthplace of the Valley Girl accent, and I always notice non-California people speaking to me like this. And so I've always thought that the Valley Girl voice uptick, TikTok voice, I've always thought those were not regional accents, but generational accents. Like, I always associate Valley Girl voice with the 2000s, Paris Hilton, Juicy Couture, jumpsuit era. And I think as more and more people use the internet as their main source of community and socialization, it is more likely that a person in Delaware who identifies as Gen Z will sound exactly like someone from LA who also identifies as Gen Z. I think that stratification of TikTok speak is really just a bonding agent. Like, if someone speaks to you like this in real life, you can probably tell that they're online a lot. Like, I can kind of tell what you listen to and who you watch just by how you speak.
Right. There was this phenomenon that started during the pandemic, or at least people started noticing it during the pandemic, where British children who were watching a lot of American content started pronouncing certain words in American accents because they were consuming so much American content. And the other way around, I think a lot of American children who watch British children's content. Exactly. They start taking on these intonations.
Louis.
Exactly. It's so fascinating. I feel like mimicry is kind of the vocalization of your media diet. You can tell what you're watching or listening to based on the way you talk. Mm-hmm. I do feel like, you know, we should ask the big question, which is, should we try to move away from TikTok voice? Should we avoid it? Does any of this matter now that TikTok is allegedly banned?
Well, the speech pathologist, Laura Purcell Verdon, told NPR that if you have TikTok voice and you want to get rid of it, first ask yourself, why do you want to get rid of it in the first place? Then listen to yourself on a recording. And if you're coming across the way you intend and your message is being received correctly, then no adjustment needs to be made. Mm. But personally, I don't begrudge it. Like, if someone is annoyed by your voice, that is their problem, not yours. Unless you're doing some, like, weird 30 Rock sexy baby thing, it just doesn't bother me. And I'll say this. I am guilty of mimicking influencers in my daily life, too, because, for example, and Rachel, please tell me if you've picked up on this, I start all of our Zoom meetings with, "Hey, guys." Because Emma Chamberlain did it once in a vlog where she like logged onto a Zoom meeting and it sounded like welcoming and confident and like I owned a coffee company and I just wanted to show up like that. I wanted to show up for you like that. And it kind of also hits at this thing where like I hate when you log onto a Zoom and like no one knows who's supposed to be talking, so no one talks. So I do that all the time where I'm like, "Hey guys," to like break the ice, and then I'll just like find something to talk about. So "Hey guys" is my vocal fry.
I mean, I guess that means that all that's left to say is bye, guys.
Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify, and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod, and you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Sarah Spragley-Ricks, Candace Lim, and me, Rachel Hampton. And special thanks to Olivia Briley for all of your work on today's episode. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online.
Or on Moon Talk.